Hey guys, this is Tony Manfitano, and I got to sit down last week with J. Michael Harder, and his single is currently out being played on XM Radio. It's called Playing With Fire, and we got into a great conversation right off the bat to the point where I had to remember to go ahead and turn the recording device on. I realized about 10 minutes into our conversation that we had already started. So I wanted to come back and just give him an introduction at the top of the interview here. So, without further ado, this is my interview with J. Michael Harder. Just chill. Did you, Kamikaze, was that your, you just released that this month?
I haven't released it. I put it on iTunes.
Okay.
I sort of snuck it on there. I'm trying not to promote it too much on my social media, and because it's not the single right now. Well, that's kind of a funny story, because the single right now is Playing With Fire, and I didn't want to send mixed signals to radio. We're just now getting ready to go to Music Row radio stations with Playing With Fire, and Playing With Fire is doing very well.
Yes.
On XM radio, and Kamikaze, my friend Trey and I, who actually wrote Playing With Fire with me as well, we wrote Kamikaze for his friend Rob Smets, who's a like five-time world champion bullfighter, and we wrote the song trying to get Aaron Watson to record it, who's a big Texas act.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded it in my kitchen on my iPhone, just me and my guitar, to put it down. And Trey put a little video to it of some of the clips from Rob's career, Rob Smets' career.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob's called the Kamikaze. That's like his that's what everybody calls
him. Ah.
So anyways, Trey sends Rob this video, and it's me singing in my kitchen, and it's all these like clips, and he just like kind of did it for fun. Well, Rob shows it to his daughter, Josie, and Josie posts it on her Facebook page, and it goes viral. There's like close to 1 million views. Like it just, we're watching it. I don't know if you've ever posted a viral video, if you've ever had that happen before. It's the craziest thing. Like we were going like 5,000, then 10,000. I mean, this is like within minutes you're watching this happen.
Oh, really? And you just keep checking it, and it's every time you check it, it's
yeah. There's a few different links now. It's not on YouTube. It's just a Facebook link.
Yeah.
So there's so many of them. The original link is up over 600,000 views, but it's spread. I think if we added them all up, there's a couple million. So we're like, oh crap! We need to go record this. This is a recording of me in my kitchen on my iPhone, and it's going viral. This is not good, and we don't have it for sale on iTunes, so we can't capitalize on any sales. And so all these people start messaging me on Facebook, and where can I get the song?
I think like a lot of people don't realize, especially with the YouTube and the self posting and all that kind of stuff, that like hundreds of thousands of views does not always translate into a check.
I've not got a check. No, it doesn't.
I don't know how that works. You have to figure out a way to monetize that and use the popularity the followers that you had. And like, you're like, oh crap, I got to get this thing.
Yeah. So we rush into the studio, finally get the thing done. I got the artwork done. I uploaded it onto iTunes, but I didn't promote it at all. I just wanted it to be there for people that go and see this video that may go search my name, because what I don't want to send the wrong signal to radio and have them say, oh well, what the heck, he's coming off of Playing With Fire and doing pushing this new song. But at the same time, I felt bad for all these people messaging me wanting a copy of it, wanting to buy it. So now it's there. So Kamikaze is available.
All right.
And if you check, I don't think the video is on YouTube, but it's on. It was on Josie Smet's Facebook page. Sorry, Josie, for going to get some traffic out of this.
I'm going to say, for something you didn't want to plug that much, we just spent 5 minutes just
talking. Well, it's a kind of a cool story.
Yeah, no, that is cool, man. That's awesome. Well, that's a cool story because the product is what people were interested in.
Yeah,
like a lot of times you see plug-in, you see people, oh, come see my this, come see that, come see this, and there's no like, you don't actually see the product until you go and get it. But mm-hmm. that's cool because you know people saw it and liked it. And that's why
And they reached out to me on Facebook or sent me a tweet message or just asking where they could buy it. And
awesome.
I was like, you can't. I don't have it up. I mean, I just put it up
just
like
pretend you
last week.
Pretend you didn't hear it, and then let's do it again in a month.
Yeah. I think Trey, my co-writer on it, is going to make a new video to go with it eventually, and we'll repost that.
That's cool. So,
yeah.
Oh man, it'd be cool if you'd like to splice them together and do like a you in the kitchen versus like a real
versus
like,
the record.
Yeah. Cool. Just for people who don't know you, man, how like let's talk about your start. How'd you come up?
I got into playing guitar first because I got cut from the basketball team in high school, and that was basketball was like my first love. I thought I was going to be, you know, the first white Michael Jordan, but that didn't work out.
So how else can I get in front of girls?
Yeah, how else? Exactly. But my dad bought me a guitar. I guess I'd have been 13, 14 years old. And I think I was playing his guitar up until then. But I just fell in love with it. I got obsessed with it. I really wasn't singing yet. And then I started, I was a big Garth Brooks fan. So I bought some Garth Brooks music books. And I would learn all his songs, the tablature. And gosh, that was a pain. Learning that.
I remember trying
to get your fingers to do what your fingers don't know how to do. Anyway, so then I started singing Garth songs. I thought, well, you know, I sing along to them to the CD. Well, maybe I can play it and sing to it. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of where that began. I started trying to mimic Garth.
I know it mentioned it a little bit in your bio, but I definitely hear that late 90s, early 2000s kind of feel, mm-hmm. which I'm partial to, because that's what I was gotten into. When I found country music, that's what it was. Garth, it was Alan Jackson, it was like early Blake, it mm-hmm. was, you know, that George Strait, it was,
yeah.
you know, those.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And that's, I'm still in love with that sound.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, I like the storytelling that went on in those days. You know, when you listen to a song and it puts a movie in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you goosebumps, you know.
I was going to mention, I enjoyed the wordplay in the writing. I'm a lyricist guy, so I like
me too.
I like double entendres and wordplay and things like that. And like just like the song, The Only One, when like the wrap you up, come unwound, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Like the visual, you got really good visuals in your songs.
Thank you.
I enjoy that
Thank you.
Part of it.
Thanks, man. So, I love that song.
Getting back to the production side, like that sound that you had was like reminiscent of, you know, that stuff that influenced you. Who did the production on that record, and was it...
On that record, on Ride On, that was the EP. It was my brother, actually, and Matt McClure. Matt's a big producer in town. Lee Bryce is one of his...
Uh-huh.
He produced I Drive Your Truck, that huge number one mm-hmm. Song of the year for Lee. And my brother and Matt teamed up. And I think that record is a little more towards the traditional side than the new stuff I'm doing, like Playing with Fire,
mm-hmm.
Because this new stuff is with a different guy, with a guy named Bobby Holland and my brother. So on this one, I've sort of let my brother take the reins a little more,
mm-hmm.
where he's more of an alternative rock guy.
Yeah.
So I always had to kind of pull back on him, like, man, that's not country. You can't do that. I don't like that. I'm not that guy. But yeah. I've let him express his creativity a little bit more on this new stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to... In fact, I was talking to another artist about this a couple weeks ago, about how it doesn't matter if you have a good song. It'll whatever's hot right now, you can put that music behind it. And then mm-hmm. if the song is good enough, it'll be malleable so that, you know, you can take a traditional country song. And then, I mean, you did it with the remix of Cowgirl. Mm-hmm. You put that, you know...
And it fits with what's on the radio.
It fits with everything. So if it's a good enough song, it should be malleable to fit in.
You can always put a drum machine to it and ruin it.
I was gonna say, just get a rapper in there, but you can just.
You know what you get when you combine country or country and rap, crap.
Oh.
I probably shouldn't say that. It seems to me like rap is a part of almost every song I hear these days. So I won't ever do that. I promise.
What I love about Nashville is that, not besides the what comes along with the camaraderie, is also the joking around.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a constant running joke in my columns of making fun of Florida Georgia Line because I'll admit, I love some of their stuff, and if I ever met Tyler, I'd probably be like, dude, please cut one of my songs.
Yeah, right, and it'd make you some money.
So, man, he had a lot of blue collar jobs and stuff, construction and all that.
My dad and my grandpa owned it's a very niche thing. Most people don't know what it is. It's a shoring company. It's like underground safety equipment that mm-hmm. we, for people that are like putting in pipelines, they put these things down in the ground called shores that hold the dirt open so the guys in the pipes don't get crushed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I worked. That was some nasty work, man. Being down in a ditch, working on a shore when it's 120 degrees in Phoenix. And
I'm right there with you, man.
It was gross.
Before I moved here, I did 10 years of... I ran a concrete pump in Florida.
Oh, like shotcrete?
Running the pump. Yeah, like wow. All of it. Shout out to CNC Pumping in Florida. But I did... Yeah, man, before my hands got all pink again, they used to... Sometimes, don't you look at your hands sometimes and you kind of feel like, I love what I do for a living, but I feel kind of like a puss. My hands are too clean.
Yeah, they're too soft.
I need to go... I want to go change my oil or something right now. But that goes... I mean, the blue-collar living goes part and parcel with country.
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple landscaping companies.
It's hard without that blue-collar experience sometimes to convey the authenticity of what you're trying to do with our lyrics. You don't want to come across, you know, like you're just like it's put on, or you just make your
Well, I like to write songs that I've lived.
You know? I was going to ask you if some of that stuff you've done has influenced the way you write.
Yeah, I think so. I also think that growing up around that kept me out of trouble and made me gravitate more towards the country music that had some heart to it. You know, music that had heart that, I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but just think it make you appreciate things a lot more.
It's a running theme with most of the people that I've interviewed as of late about how, that we're drawn to country music because of the authenticity of it and the candor of it, and it's about stuff, really life stuff. And then it's
innocent, and honest. Yeah. It's supposed to be, in my opinion. That's mine. Some people, you know... may have a totally different opinion and not like that kind of stuff, or don't want to think about a song that's maybe sad or a subject that's touchy or politically correct.
Now, you live in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think living in an industry town, like, do you think living in an artsy town, all the artists in one place, that the ideas become stagnant and starts getting rehashed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I haven't had a songwriting appointment in Nashville in quite a while. It's easy to get sucked into that circle of, well, who are we writing for today? What's working on the radio? We should write what's working on the radio if we want to get a song cut. I think it's completely backwards to think that way. I think if you should write a good song and make what's on the radio. Don't copy the radio. And that's sort of the reason you hear a lot of people say that country music all sounds the same right now. Mm-hmm. It's all about the same stuff. Yeah. Well, it's like a formula that we know works, so why not just keep repeating it?
Mm-hmm.
Problem with that is you can look at the sales and see the problem with that.
Yeah, and you definitely do lose some of the honesty that comes with the, like you said, the reason I was saying that was because of the, when you live that blue-collar life or you have that in your past, you have something to draw on to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory that the reason why all the songs are about partying is because everybody that writes them lives in Nashville, and that's all they do all the time. So, like, you're going to write about what you see. They're still being honest. They're just being honest about stuff that not everybody gets to...
I've never seen one of these cornfield tailgate parties. I've never been invited to one, I guess.
Never happened.
We used to do... I mean, that's the way we partied when I was a kid growing up in Arizona. We had this place we called The Pit, and it was a big... it was probably 100-foot deep water retention area that we could go down in the bottom of it, and the cops didn't know we were down there.
Mm.
You couldn't see it from the road. So we'd have 100 pickup trucks down there with the tailgates down, drinking beer, kegs. I mean, obviously all underage and shouldn't have been doing it.
Yeah.
But I haven't been invited to any of like Luke Bryan's parties. Apparently he's having them.
I don't know.
Out in the cornfields, never been invited.
I'm saying, maybe if... I like to know where these bars are hanging out at, where women just randomly walk up to them and start talking to them. Like, that never happens to me.
No, that doesn't happen to me either.
One of the things I noticed about the music, man, was listening to it. I listened to it again a couple times through. I pulled a couple of the tracks off the EP and to stick in my playlist because I liked them so much.
Cool, man.
But
awesome. Which ones?
I liked The Only One.
Yeah.
I liked Mama Look Out Yonder.
That's a great song.
What was the other one? I had another one listed. I forget. I'll get to. But Live to Love You.
Live to Love
That's
You.
That's a cool song. I like that
Thanks,
one too.
Man.
I wanted to say you vacillate back and forth well between like the traditional country and your vocal sounds anyway, mm-hmm. styles. I don't like on the only or like, Mama, cow, like even Cowgirl, Mama Look Out Yonder, mm-hmm. it's very traditional style vocal.
Yeah.
And then you go seamlessly into like the only like Only One and stuff like that, which is a bit, maybe a little bit more modern style vocal, and then playing with
you
five.
Know, I think that's just I guess I don't know that I do that, but I guess it's the song. If the song caters to like a storyteller sort of tone in your vocal, like Mama Look Out Yonder, I think, you know, it's a story song, where I Live to Love You is a love power ballad, you know? I think it's just, it's whatever the song is, whatever the song calls for is just what comes out when I sing.
Okay, I saw that you got to work a little bit with Bud Lee.
Yeah, so. Bud's a very, 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 very close friend of mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I met him in Alaska. It's a funny story. I don't know how long of a story you want me to tell, but Bud, I could tell a lot. And Bud's the one that wrote Mama Look Out Yonder.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it for a little bit.
And he also wrote Friends in Low Places for Garth Brooks.
I know Bud.
Oh, you do?
How many times after he got done talking did you say to yourself, I don't know what the hell you just said, but I know it's some prolific stuff.
Something. Yep. You got to listen close. There's a lot of genius in what he says. I was sitting in Losers Bar and Grill, mm-hmm. Sitting in the back, and I had been lucky enough to land a spot on this Nashville to Bristol Bay songwriters trip. There was five of us that got selected from Nashville to go on this thing. And I'd been just corresponding with email to the guy that runs it, Scott Laurent. And I saw Bud Lee's name on the list of people that were going. And I didn't know who Bud was, but I remember seeing that name. And I'm sitting back there, and here comes, walks in this guy with this crazy wild hair, a cowboy hat, his sunglasses on at night. Walks over, sits down next to me. We start talking. I mean, I'm thinking, who is this guy? Why did he walk over here? And anyway, so we struck up a friendship right away. And I said, what's your name, man? And he says, my name is Earl Bud Lee. I said, oh, my God, dude. We're going to Alaska together in 3 days. It's like, no way. I said, yeah, I'm J. Michael Harder. You're on my email. I saw you got an email with your name. That's crazy. And then when we got to Alaska, that's when I learned all the hits that he's had.
Yeah.
Like, Who Are You When I'm Not Looking for Blake Shelton, mm-hmm. One Night at a Time for George Strait. I mean, yeah. And him and I have become great buddies. We do a lot of songwriter shows together.
That's awesome.
He's
definitely full of wisdom, like you said. Even if you don't understand what it is at the moment, you'll
think about it. Yeah. Well, I've gotten to where I'm pretty good at understanding.
Really? He's a good guy. I've sat at that very same bar and had lots of conversations with him.
Well, his
some I don't quite remember.
I was gonna say we could go try to find him right now, but I know he's in Louisville for a birthday party.
I haven't seen him in a while. It'd be good to see him again. So, let's get to the current stuff, man. Playing With Fire is the single that you're plugging my way at right now.
Yeah.
I listen to it. I do gotta say, and I don't want to sound like I'm just blowing smoke, so I gotta preface by saying the first time I heard it through, it was just in passing, and I was like, all right, that sounds like a whatever, you know. And then I listened to it again and paid attention to it, and was like, oh, there's the meter in the, I don't know, did you write that with, who did you write that with?
With Trey Stevens.
Like I said, I'm a lyricist guy, and the meter that it's in is like very, it's very poetry-esque. I like
it's almost spoken, but sung.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't, a lot of times today I don't say a lot of times, but in some of the stuff that we have on the radio that's very catchy and poppy, we sacrifice the structure of a song for just something that people can sing along to.
The melody. Well, we tried to make the verses more lyrically driven, like you're saying, and more less melodic and more spoken word, and then we let the chorus be the big melody.
Yeah, and it was catchy, and that's what got me. Was like, oh, this is catchy, but also it's actually written. Like, look at this.
Somebody
sat down and wrote something that actually it makes sense.
Yeah, so. I love story songs. I love listening to music and going somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, an escape.
All right, what was the idea for that song? What was the process of that?
Actually, that was my sister Shannon's idea, because I guess I've always played with fire. I'm like, whenever we're, we were actually at our cabin in Arizona, and I had a big bonfire going, obviously, and was throwing stuff in there and spraying lighter fluid on it.
And as people do.
As people do. And she said, you need to write a song about playing with fire because you love playing with fire. So I wrote it down in my notes on my iPhone and pulled that title out with Trey Stevens. We were just on my back deck here in Nashville, and we wrote that thing in about 30 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, those are usually the best ones.
They are.
We got to that after that second verse where he talks about going up to the girl that's already at the club with another guy and asks for her number and ends up getting beat up over it. I'm like, well, where do we go from here? You know, we had another verse to write.
Yeah.
Like, God, what can we do? I'm like, oh, we got to burn this guy's truck. I'm like, this guy's obviously not going to win a fight against this huge dude.
That's the next logical step to this.
Let's go light his truck on fire. Like, well, okay, it's just a story, you know. We've actually had a couple radio stations say, oh, well, you know, we'll see how it does. We're not totally sure if we want to promote arson. Like, come on.
Oh, come on, but it's all right. Hey, Carrie Underwood slashed up somebody's leather seats in their truck and bashed their taillights
in. Well, yeah, and, you know, apparently, you know, every other song is promoting drinking and driving these days.
Yeah.
Slide on over and hand me another beer. I got some good feel-good stuff up underneath my seat in my truck.
Know, how many songs are... Come on. How many songs are, I want to get you drunk, get you in my truck, and take you to the woods?
That's, man.
that's pretty good.
If anybody does that to my daughter, they're going to end up in a hole somewhere.
Indeed, that's some, I mean, yeah. Bill Cosby wrote these songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man. So what's coming up next, man? What's on the horizon? What do you got? You just plugging away at this?
About to get some tour dates put together. I'm working with some guys out in Arizona. Some band members of mine.
Nice.
We're going to put some tour dates together. I actually just found out about that today, so that's going to be cool. Finally get out on the road. I have a 9-month-old daughter, so I've really been kind of a homebody for a while now.
Prison for a while.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, I've only done a handful of shows this year because of that. But the last quarter of 2015 looks like it's going to be pretty packed.
Nice.
A lot of out west stuff. A lot of Denver, Reno, Phoenix, Flagstaff.
Oh, man, great country cities.
Yeah, Santa Fe, Albuquerque. Yeah, we're gonna hit the West Circuit. We're doing some stuff out here as well. It'll be cool. I'm excited.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Make sure you let us know when you get some national dates or anything close around.
We're also in the finishing process of finishing up this next album that Playing With Fire is on. So
awesome.
We've got, it'll be 10 tracks.
That's awesome. I'll have to get with you again when that comes out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's a really cool song on there. Do you know who Michael Martin Murphy is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Some people don't. Some people don't aren't cool. Aren't cool enough to know Michael. He sings a track on my record.
Oh, really?
And it's with me and my dad and my brother and Michael Martin Murphy. It's a song that Michael Martin Murphy wrote and sang with his son originally, and we redid it. It's called Talking to the Wrong Man. It's great. It's great. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Oh, man.
His vocal's just incredible.
Heck yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess last is just, where can people find you, man? Plug your stuff. Where you at?
JMichaelHarder.com, Facebook.com/JMichaelHarder. Twitter is @JMichaelHarder. Instagram, I'm on Instagram @JMichaelHarder. They're all J. Michael Harder.
Oh,
it's pretty simple. I got lucky that it's not a real common name. I didn't have to be like J. Michael Harder 3315.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to come up with some. And, you know, it's funny. You hear creative people that can sit down and write songs in 30 minutes and they have it be great. And then trying to come up with a Twitter handle is like, oh, what? I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything. That's
I
cool.
love my dog. Dog lover. I love that one. There's. @DogLover, there's like @DogLover1, @DogLover2. I get them all the time. Or @ILoveFood, and because I post a lot of stuff on Twitter about food because I love to cook. So I always am taking pictures of like slab of meat or ribs or something that I've cooked. And it's just funny the different Twitter handles that people come up with because they're all taken, you know, so you got to be creative.
Well, Jim, this has been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate you sitting down and talking to me, brother. So we'll get with you again when the new album comes out.
Count on it. Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Thank you.